Amen. Well, Ramon, you've been taking a lot of notes tonight. You want to share those notes with us? It looks like you wrote a whole sermon there.
So actually, when I come here, I receive and I write things down because things happen. These aren't just words. So I have a message, but first let's go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask for you to continue your anointing presence, your sweet, sweet presence here. Lord Jesus, continue to cover this place. Cover your people. Keep the evil one far from us. We declare you're the Almighty One, and you're the only one we will listen to. We pray these things in your holy name, Jesus Christ. We love you. Amen. Okay. The Lord has given me a word. It actually has three parts. I don't know if I'll be able to get to all three parts. I have one of the things that I know the Lord is working in this body, because when the Lord speaks to me, it's a lot of times it's the same thing I hear from Pastor Calvin, Pastor Barbara, or other people, and it's just confirmation. One of the things that Pastor Barbara shared on this Sunday was from 1 Corinthians 12 about the gifts. And the Lord has given me a message about that we really need each other. And I know we all know that. We all can look at 1 Corinthians 12, and I won't read it because it's a sermon in itself, about the local body has parts. We're all part of the body. And the Lord has just given me something that's even deeper than that. It's multifaceted. It's more than that. And we're sitting right here on this border. And every time I cross the border, I can't tell you how much we need those people over there. We really do. So much. I see it. And every time I come back, I feel hurt because they can't be with me all the time. Okay, so the scripture I'm going to share comes from Galatians 6, 1 through 5. And I'm reading from the New King James. Okay. The word says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one to us in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load." I've taught this in a prison. And actually, there's another scripture that fits real well with this in James 5. I don't have it marked, but real easy to get to after Hebrews. James 5. James 5, it's the end of the book. Verse 19-20. It says, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." We need each other. And one of the things I'm seeing right now is the battle is raising up. The battle is getting higher and higher. The level, the bar, is higher than I've ever seen in my life. And the one thing I know is, the reason I know this is because I can see in believers, in my own life, this level, this attack of sin. And the enemy is so smart. He knows who we are. And he doesn't pick the weak ones. He goes for the strong ones. He's going for us. And he knows what our sins are, and he wants to take us down with those things. And one of the reasons that the Lord has given me this message about we need each other is my weaknesses aren't your weaknesses. And one of the things that we see so often is we see that the weaknesses of others or the sins of others look really ugly and really bad. But most of the time we're like this to our own. We can't see them. And I can tell you over the last 5 years, the Lord has just shown me why I need my brothers in Mexico, because they've shown me so much, so many things. And you know, the really cool thing, no one has ever done this to me. You know, you got this. No, occasionally my friend from Chihuahua, occasionally he'll get mad at me. He'll say, "Why are you guys like that?" And I'll say, "I don't know, we just are." He says, "Well, we're not like that." Well, they got some other problems, but they aren't. There are certain things they don't struggle with. And one of the things that the Lord has shown me is in order for me to see my sins, it really helps if I'm around others who don't have them. And one of the things that as Americans, one of the problems America has is we like to compartmentalize. We like to put like with like. It's part of our culture. We're very ordered. Oh, these people, the young people go over here. I've seen churches like that. Older people over here. And the reality is that don't work. I need someone who's older, who has more wisdom to point out the things I need to know. And those younger people, and same thing. I need the passion of those younger people. And the Lord just keeps showing me this, that if we stay among people who are just like ourselves, we can't grow. We just can't grow. We'll actually rise, and I've heard someone say this, and I may not say it right. We rise to the level of the common level of sin. Because we look at each other and we go, well, he's a brother and he does that. That must be okay. And he does it too. And he does, and she, and we sit in this level of mediocrity and we just don't rise. We can't do that. Not in the season we're in right now. We're in a season that's real serious, very serious. Every time I engage in ministry, I'm seeing things as like, whoa, I never saw that before. And I need my brothers and sisters in Christ to help me, to expose these things by example. I need to know the sin in my life so I can throw it out and I can raise up. And I have examples. We spend a lot of time with drug addicts in Mexico. And one of the nasty things is heroin. If everyone's ever been around a heroin addict, I know we've been around alcoholics. People have other addictions, but heroin's really bad. And I see it a lot. And I'll be honest, if I put a syringe, a dirty syringe full of Mexican heroin, and put it on a table, I don't think any of us would even get near it. We'd all be like this. But I know people that struggle. I know people who were born again. I've seen their conversion. That struggle, there's just a demon that wants them to go and jab that needle into their arm. And I don't have that weakness, but they do. They need me. And I need them. And I see so many things. A lot of people don't struggle with addiction. But if you do, you know it's powerful. And there's so many other things that we struggle with that I need my brothers and sisters in Christ at my side. I need someone who doesn't struggle with that to show me how to help me. I can't tell you how many times I've seen a ministry. Oh, so-and-so has gone through this. He can help others like him. A lot of times they can't hear him. I gave an example once when we were preaching in the plazas in Mexico. And all I got to do is start talking in English. And people start, their ears perk up because they don't hear that. It's new. It's different. And I speak with an accent too. So they're going to listen because it's different. I need different. We need different. We need each other to help us grow beyond. We can't just stay and just be okay. That's not good enough. We need to rise above and be victorious. And that's the second part of my word. And actually, I'm going to go there. I want to go back to the text because this is really important. Brethren, if a man, I'm reading from Galatians. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. My sins aren't their sins. I have no desire to touch that needle, that syringe of heroin. But I want to restore that brother who does. I really do. I want to lift him up so he doesn't want to ruin his life with that horrible addiction. But I got to be careful because the word here says here, lest you yourself be tempted. I got to be careful, okay? And I love how it says a spirit of gentleness. One of the things the Lord has shown me is I don't do this to people. I don't. When I deal with the addicts, I don't say, why don't you just change? I don't do that at all. I say, I love you. The Lord loves you, and we're going to work through this together. And I've been around some of these people for almost 4.5 years, and I'm going to stay with them as long as the Lord has it. And this also says, verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We need to bear each other's burdens. And sometimes that's difficult, but we need to lift each other up. We need to encourage each other. One of the things I hope never to do, I never want to come up into this pulpit and say, I'm so much better than everyone else. I don't ever want to do that. I really don't. If I did, please forgive me, because I'd never want to do that. I just want to tell you, he is great. And and when we connect with him, awesome things are going to happen. Okay, so here it says, verse 3, and if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. We're nothing. If we don't have Christ, we're nothing. And when I'm operating in my gift, it's only because I'm operating in his gift and his power. And I love this, verse 4, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. We need to examine ourselves, okay? Verse 5, for each one shall bear his own load. I'm responsible for myself, okay? So again, I need those drug addicts over in Mexico. I do. So many times, I can't tell how many times people have told me, are you helping them? Are you kidding? They've helped me. There's things I've learned I would have never have learned if I would have stayed in Flagstaff. I was doing some neat things, but I wouldn't have learned. I need them. I go over there. I receive from them. They laugh when I tell them that. So, you guys don't know this, but I receive more from you than you receive from me. And I always bring good stuff. Heroin addicts love candy. They love me. I always bring candy. Thank you, Pastor. And that's who he is. That's who he wants us to be. He wants us to grow. And the beauty of the Lord, he wants to use others to help us do it. The Lord could touch every one of us. The Lord could lift everyone and give us an anointing, and we would go off doing. But a lot of times, I need these two right here because they've taught us so much. I need you guys because I learn from when I'm around others, and I need that. We need each other, okay? So that's the first part. So we need each other in a gifting, okay? I'm going to go on to the second part, and I'm gonna start with all of us. I think a lot of us, We have people we really look up to. A lot of times it's people we've never met, like Ken Copeland or Billy Graham, or, you know, you just have these names. I really look up to them. I'd really like to meet them. There's a guy I really like to meet. You guys know. His name's Lee Grady. I just love that guy. I get the Charisma Magazine as like, I can't tell you. Every month is like, how did he know I'm dealing with this? How does he know I needed that? This guy's anointed. And this last one, I won't read it. You can read it. It's really cool. It says, how I went from being a wimp to a warrior. And it's awesome. And one of the things the enemy's really, he's really tactful. And he always tries to put us down. He always tries to make us think that we're less than we are. And it's a lie. And the Lord has shown me, we do this in Mexico a lot. Because a lot of these addicts have been beat up. These women have been abused. These men have been just horrible things in their lives. They don't need someone to do this. They don't need straighten up. They don't need that. They need someone to lift them up. They need someone to fill them with the truth. And we do that. And okay, this part, so the first part was we need each other. The second part kind of sounds funny, but the second part's called men are strong, women are beautiful. Okay? Why? Because it's true. It's very true. So one of the things when you read his article, I really recommend reading his article. I just loved it. Is he was talking about being inferior. You know, it talked about being coming from a culture or a family that really looks at college football. And if you're not 210 pounds and have bulging biceps and can run, you know, 100-yard dash in 10 seconds, you're nothing. It's like, well, he felt inferior. I read this guy. This stuff's powerful. And one of the things we do in Mexico all the time, there's power in spoken word. We know that in this church. I'm going to tell you something else. There's power in the spoken word when you speak it and others hear. Okay? You can go in your own house, in your own closet, and you can say good things. That's powerful. Say it in front of somebody. Okay? So it's a small congregation, small group. We're going to participate. Okay? Because I'm French, not Mexican. The women are first. I always do that. So the women have to say, I am beautiful. Each one, not together. Okay, la hermana, tú necesitas decir, soy hermosa. No, 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 tú puedes. Okay, mira, there are times in Mexico, there was a rehab. Melissa and I were in a rehab, a really rough one in Huatabampo. I don't know if you guys, some of you guys have been to Huatabampo. There was a really rough one. And one of the things we tell these young girls, some of these girls are like 13 years old, is we give them a gift and we have them say, I'm a princess. And some of them just catch it. They're like right on. They got the princess spirit right away. But there was this one woman. She wouldn't say it. She sat right up front. And I'm like, say it. She goes, I don't want to. And I said, say it. And she said, I'm a princess. Okay, so it's the women's turn. I'm going to start with Nina. It's going to go this way. Each woman's going to say, I am beautiful. And I'm going to come back to the men. Say it. Say it. Hermana. Connie. Huh? Okay, now the men. Oh, okay, okay. I remember one time when Pastor Calvin was up here and he had your daughter right here. He had your daughter right here. And he goes, who's better looking? I was sitting right there. I was like, that's easy. Men aren't beautiful. You're supposed to say, I'm strong. Bueno. I'm strong. Okay, and I'm going to build on that because a lot of times we can say it and not believe it. Okay, I may not be able to bench 200 pounds, but I've taken on some big boys. I really have. Did I never tell you about the time with Mikey and Agua Prieta? Did I tell you about Mikey, my son, Mikey? No, I didn't tell you about Mikey. Okay, I was in Agua Prieta. This was a couple months ago in September. And one of the spirits that always occasionally comes in to discourage me is there's a spirit that makes fun of my language because I can't speak Spanish real well. And there was this kid right in front. He'd make fun of me. I would say something and he would make fun of my accent. He would say something. Okay? And I got tired of it. And I went right up to Mikey. I go, hey! And this kid stood up. Whoa, he was a big kid. I go, what's your name? Miguel. And I was like, what's your dad's name? I don't know. Don't know my dad. So I adopted him. So I said, now you're my son. You can sit down. And he did. And every time I would come, it would be like, hey, there's my son. And he'd stand up, there's my dad. Here's this big kid. He was my son. And I can tell you example, example, example. I know I told you the time about Freddie and Chihuahua. Scared Melissa. We go to our friend's house in Chihuahua. And we pull in. And we get out of the car. And this kid, big guy, big tattoo guy, comes running out at me. And he goes, I want to talk to you. And he spoke in English. And Melissa's like, oh, no. And I was like, okay, let's talk. So I took him in the back. And we come back after a half hour. He's crying his eyes out. And Melissa goes, what did you do to him? I was like, what do you mean I do to him? He's a huge guy. He's crying his eyes out. When we know who we are, men are strong. And same thing, women are beautiful. And we got to know that. You got to know that. You got to know it, know it, know it. And I love what Pastor said about there's something about connecting knowing with doing. When you know and do, it just clicks. And there's no doubt. I don't need someone to say, you know, you got to do a workout program. Uh-uh. When I go over there, I'm pretty strong. Okay. And if you need proof, there's plenty of scripture. I love Lee's article. Awesome. But you can also, man, if you're like, you know, I really don't feel strong, read 1 John 2:14. Young man. You are strong. Okay, that's homework. In Mexico, I give people homework. And you know, in Mexico, what's really cool is they like homework. My students, I teach math in Sierra Vista, they don't like homework. But the inmates in the rehabs in Mexico, they ask for homework. So I give them homework. And women, 1 Peter 3:3. Women are beautiful. Actually, the easiest place for homework, go to Genesis 1 and 2. God didn't create ugly people. God didn't create weak people. God created people in his image, right? God is strong. God is beautiful. These are the kind of things. We need to throw out these lies. We've been fed lies and lies and lies and lies for generations, and it affects us. I have tons of proof. I went to France, like when Samantha and I went to France when my father passed away. And one of the things that she'll even tell you, when you go to France, the women there are very beautiful. And I asked a guy, because I was like, it was real obvious. And I asked a friend, I said, savez-vous pourquoi la femme de France est belle? And he goes, non, pourquoi? So I asked him, do you know why the women of France are beautiful? And he goes, no, why? And I said, pourquoi la femme de France sabe le vrai? The women of France know the truth. Okay, let me tell you one thing that we are going to tell you right now, that if women feel inferior, this was really about from a man's point of view, but if women feel inferior, it's because you've been listening. It's because we've been listening to things that are a lie. Okay, you throw that out. We throw that out. That's a lie. We need to listen to the truth of who we are, okay? I have tons of examples, but I won't go into any more of that because I really want to get into what the Lord's put on my heart. And it's actually, it's so interesting because Pastor Barbara doesn't know this, but one time, this was a couple weeks ago when she asked me to preach, she came up to me and she goes, and she started talking to me about the Sabbath. It's like, how does she know? So, when I come to faith, I bring a clipboard. And I take notes. I really do. Like when you guys give prophecies, I write them down. And Pastor Barbara didn't know this, but she started talking to me about the Sabbath. And I was like, how did she know? Two sheets in, I wrote, what is the importance of the Sabbath? And I had scripture. She didn't know that. How did that come up in conversation? How many times do you talk to people and say, do you want to talk about the Sabbath? Never. The Spirit is alive and moving. So what the Lord gave me is I really need to find out, what does the Sabbath mean? What does rest mean? You know, in the physical, we all know what that means. Oh, okay, well, in the Sabbath, you're supposed to have every seventh day, a day of rest where you don't work. Okay, that's easy. Sure. Yeah, we all know that. And we all know that you when you mess it up, it doesn't work. I used to be a really bad workaholic. I used to work Monday through Friday. I go into work 7. I get home maybe 6, maybe 7. And on call on Saturdays. And Sunday, I had the pager, you know, back in the days of pagers. Some of you young people don't even know what those are. But I was like glued to my job. I mean, glued to my job. And I didn't have a rest. I was a mess. It didn't work. And we all know every time you try messing with the Lord's order, it doesn't work. So Sabbath, well, one of the things the Lord has shown me too about his word and about who he is, he's so multifaceted. Every time we think we know all what he's about and put him in this nice little container and say, this is who he is, we're missing it. He's so multifaceted that we can never fully understand, but the Sabbath is a lot more than every seventh day having a rest. But that's part of it, because that's who we are. And one of the things that I found out was, well, go look what the Lord did. When the Lord walked the earth, what did he do? He actually got in trouble with the religious people by healing people on the Sabbath. Many times I was finding scripture after scripture after scripture where he got in trouble for healing people on the Sabbath. And the Lord has shown me is I do need that time. And I'm going to speak very carefully, because I've heard people do this to me, where I've heard people tell me, oh, if you need a day of rest and you need to do family devotions. Okay, that sounds good. I don't know if I can do that all the time. My son lives in Flagstaff. My other son goes to Sierra Vista. I don't know if I can pull that together. And it becomes a burden. And we all know when the Lord doesn't want to burden us. When we feel burdened, that's not from him. That's not from him. So when I started going through this on a Sabbath, the first thing I learned was just spend time with him. Actually, Pastor Calvin brought that home with me of what's real reward is spending time with him. And I can't tell. So I started doing that. And I'm not telling you I've been doing this for years, because I haven't. I just started just months ago, where every Sunday I spend time with him. And I just, and not the whole day. I didn't sit alone away. No, but I just had those little quiet times with my Lord where it was just quiet. And I just listened and I just spent time with him. And it was great. It was great. But that wasn't it. And I'm not going to tell you you need to do exactly how I do it. Uh-uh. No, every time that happens, we get pharisaical and things just don't work. And then a couple weeks ago, Melissa and I, we were home, and I was like, you know, we got some really warm clothes. Some really neat people knocked on our door and gave us some really warm clothes. And I was like, let's go to Mexico. And she's like, really? Yeah, let's go to Mexico. It's really cold right now. Let's go. Well, it's kind of Sunday, and it's kind of a day. No, let's go. It was so cool. We went over there and blessed those people. And the place we go in Naco used to be the jail, and it's cold. It's just cold. I mean, it's bone-chilling cold, where they have the bars. They did put up windows, but a lot of them are broken. And it just was cold. So we came with this big bag of warm clothes, and it just was so cool. We brought oil to anoint the sick. And again, I'm not telling you to go do what I did, but we did that, and it was restful. I didn't come back go, oh, I'm just glad that was over with. That was like, that was so cool. So I'm going to take in some scripture, because my words mean about this much. The Word of God is huge. We're going to go to the book of Hebrews. We're going to go to the book of Hebrews, and we're going to start in the end of chapter 3. Okay. We're going to go chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 16. And again, this is about the Sabbath. Okay. I titled this, What is the Importance of the Sabbath? Okay. Okay. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 16 says, For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. I'm going to stop there. We all know what this is talking about. This is talking about when Israel, led by Moses, left Egypt, went through the wilderness and into the promised land. And I heard teaching years ago on this, and it has always stuck in my mind, is Canaan is a land of rest. And actually, I went back and I checked it. It's what says in the book of Joshua, is Canaan, that the promised land is the land of rest. And you cannot separate the concept of rest from the Sabbath. They're tied together. And it all started in the seventh day, right? In 6 days, God created. Let's look at Genesis, because the older I get, the less my memory works as well as it should. But it says in Genesis, I'll read the very verse 31 of chapter 1 says, Then God made everything that he had made, and indeed it was good. So the evening and morning were the sixth day. Okay, we all know that. God created everything in 6 days. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in which he rested from all his work, which he had created and made. I'm going to stop there. That's the order. God rested. And I looked in my Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Old Testament. It's the same word that's in Hebrews 3 and 4. Okay. Let's go back to Hebrews. Okay. So here we have God's people leaving Egypt, the land of the flesh, led by Moses. They were in the desert for 40 years. He was weeding out the disobedience. He was weeding out those who could not receive by faith. And some, he said, they'll not enter my rest. Okay? And I'm going to go from chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Okay, I look at promise. When you see the word promise in the Bible, circle it or do something because there's something around it. Okay, when God promises, he always completes. Okay, promises, especially in the New Testament, this is us. We have a promise. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Okay, take notice. Pay attention. Verse 2 says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundations of the world, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. That's the Lord spoken another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. And do you guys remember in the very beginning when I said, I take notes? I do take notes. Can I read you what happened, what someone said today? This was actually Pastor Barbara in prophecy. Let's see, which page was that? I wrote it down. Things are going to be happening easy. Okay, hold on. Okay, sometimes I get a little... Pastor Barber gave us a prophecy today, and it was about things are going to be happening, and it's not going to be work. Okay, when we work and when we rest, they're opposite, right? Work and rest are opposite. When we're in our works, when we're in our flesh, we're not in our rest. And one of the things that I'm still searching, because I haven't got a complete vision of it, but I've got a glimpse, and that's what I'm sharing right now, is it says right here, Hebrews 4:9 says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Okay, I have a question for you guys. Are we supposed to just like sit back and not like do anything ever? No. When I looked at rest, I went back to what it says right here. It says, verse 8, for if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken on another day. I went back to Joshua because the best way to study and figure out what the Bible says is when it says that, I went back to Joshua. And I looked at Joshua, and you go to the very end of Joshua, and it does say they had rest from their enemies. They had rest from their enemies, but it didn't mean they were going to sit back and not do anything. They had to till the land. They had to clear the forest. They had to tend the flocks. They had to fight when the enemy rose up again. That's rest. When I started looking at it, what does this word rest really mean? It doesn't mean what we think. It doesn't mean sleep. Mm-mm. And actually, if I started looking at it in the Greek, which is the New Testament, it starts saying something like dwelling, places you abide, places of completion. That's what rest is. When I go to that rehab in Agua Prieta, and sometimes there's people that, well, they're a little troublesome, I'm still at rest. I'm at rest because I'm called to do that's rest. That's the rest, and that's fulfillment. When I leave and I lead someone to Christ or pray over someone for healing or help them get delivered from demons, that's rest. That's fulfillment. That's not kicking back and just letting someone else do something. No, that's beautiful. That's rest. That's where the Lord wants his people. And it says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. God wants to give, remember I said about the promise? God wants to give us rest. Too many people think that means, oh, no, I don't have to work, I don't have to do anything. No, that's not what it's about. He wants us to be complete. He wants us to be in that place where we're not working. When I first start, and I think we all do this, when you first start ministry, you really want to succeed. There's nothing wrong with that. And I remember when I did, I was going to Mexico every day. If I wasn't at the rehab, I was at the orphanage. If I wasn't there, it wasn't fulfilling. It wasn't bad. Those were good things, but I wasn't fulfilled. What would happen at the end of the week would be, I'd be tired. Kind of like, I'm going to say beat up, but kind of exhausted. It just wasn't fulfilling. And God doesn't want that of his people. He wants a freshness. He wants to be operating where he has meant us to be. I can't be Pastor Calvin or Pastor Barbara, or I can't be Reuben or any of you guys. And if I try to, I won't be at rest. I'll be frustrated. And I look right here, that's not what God promised. Verse 1 says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, that's a promise of entering his rest. Lest us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. There's a fear here. It's a holy fear that we don't get it. And God wants us to get it. He wants us to be in that point of rest. He wants us to be where we're operating, where we are supposed to be. He wants us to, so like how I started, we need each other. I need to get clear of the stuff that pulls me down, right? There's so much stuff that's trying to pull me down. I need to cut that stuff out. That besetting sin that has passed on from generation. I need to throw that stuff out. And I need help the people around me. If they got it, I really want to help people get free. And that's what we should do with each other. Not this way. By example. I love these two guys because so many times they could have corrected me. They didn't. But they showed me by example. Thank you, guys. And the other part was, again, the second part, which I don't know how Lee Grady read my mind, but somehow he did, is we feel inferior that we can't do it. You know, I don't have the talent he does, or I can't bench press 400 pounds and take on a group of guys. I don't need to. The Lord says I'm strong and I can do it. And he showed me. Okay. The second part, the third part is about the Sabbath, about entering that time, entering that fellowship, entering, I won't use the word work because it's not work. When you do what you're meant to do, it's a rest. It's beautiful. Have you ever guys like, I know we've got, a variety of people, but I think all of us have experienced, whenever you completed something you knew you were supposed to do, it's like, that's so cool. You're like satisfied. Like Jasmine, when you complete one of your masterpieces, wow. Or I could go around the room. It's like, that's rest. That's completion. That's where we need to be. And all this stuff of working, we need to work. We need to get that out. Because God doesn't want us beat up. He doesn't want us hitting Saturday and saying, oh, I need a rest. So I used to, like I said, when I was working in the corporate world, I needed that weekend. Even though a lot of times I didn't get it, I was beat up, exhausted, because I really wasn't meant to do what I was doing. I was trained. I was educated. I did it. I got a paycheck. I wasn't meant to do that. I was meant to go with those drug addicts over there who are sometimes difficult, but I love it. I come back like, whoa, that's kind of fun. That's kind of cool. Melissa sometimes gets scared, but it's kind of fun. I like it. I love it. And it's so rewarding. And I'm using words, they don't even catch the meaning. I use the word reward. It's beyond that. I'll use the word blessed, but that's such a big word. I just can't describe what it's like when I'm operating in my rest. And again, I'm not telling you that I've been doing this for years. I wrote a book. I'm saying I'm just starting to taste it. And it's really good. And I want everyone else to taste it. It's so cool. Okay. It's like a river. Have you ever seen like a mountain stream? A mountain stream, you ever see it like, as a little kid, I used to build like dams and dam it up. It's like, when you watch a mountain stream flow, it's clean. It's pure. It actually has a sound that's pleasant to our ears. It is a flow. And that's where God wants us to be. And I'm going to continue. I'm going to go back to Hebrews. And I just love this because it's such a balance of the Lord saying, here's the warning. Don't get caught up in the works, because it doesn't function. It just doesn't function. When we're in a work mentality, you may have these great things. You may get accolades. You may get all this stuff, but in the end, it's just not fulfilling. Okay? So I'm going to go back to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, 11 says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Okay, there's a lot there. Actually, it's one of the most quoted Bible verses I've ever heard, verse 12. But I love verse 11 says, let us be diligent to enter that rest. Doesn't it actually sound like almost a contradiction? Be diligent to enter into the rest. It's not. Let me try with my own words. Let's be serious about achieving that rest, getting into that point where we're just meant to be. And if you're feeling frustrating with what you're doing, God don't want you frustrated. If you're feeling burdened, he don't want you to feel that way. If you feel anxious and, you know, all these other emotions that it's not the Lord. That's not good. God, he wants us to be in that rest. And again, it's not doing nothing. Let me use the word refreshing. Refreshing, kind of like that mountain stream we talked about. Have you ever been up on the Chiricahuas, you know, like in the spring and after a rain, or it's just refreshing. Yeah, okay. And the one thing that the Lord gives us, okay, example of disobedience, okay, that's the warning. But verse 12 is the word of God. The word of God is living and powerful. Like I said, one of the things that the Lord keeps showing me is we can't put him in a box. It doesn't work. He's so multifaceted. We could read this word every minute of our life, and it's going to come up new, and it should. And if you're around people where, and I've been around them, they claim they have the authority, and they all know what it all means, and you know what happens? It gets pharisaical, and they don't have joy, and they don't have rest, and it's like, I don't want to be around that. I want to be operating where it says the word of God is living and powerful. Yeah. Remember what we said? Women are beautiful. Men are strong. Women are beautiful. Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents. So one of the things that I know in this, when I said the title of this part, the third part, the importance of the Sabbath, I can't get away from the word of God. You just can't. If you think sitting by a brook and listening, that's okay, and prayer, but something you can't, right? I can't get away from the word of God right here. Part of the rest is absorbing his word. I need that. We need that. And it will do the things. Remember I told you, I need my brothers and sisters in Christ. I really need my friends in Mexico because they help show me these things. Well, it says here, the word of God is what? A two-edged sword. And you know what's real interesting is the bad boys in Mexico, they know why a two-edged sword is, or a two-edged knife is so dangerous. Because it cuts going in and it cuts going out, right? So the word of God does that. I need, like I said, when I first started, I need those guys to help expose those things in my life because they don't struggle with things I struggle with. And when I'm around them, I realize, well, they don't struggle with that. Oh, why do I? I need to cut that out. And I can't do that in my flesh. I can't. I can't get up and tell you, you need to do this and fix your... You can't. The word of God says what? It's a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is just... It's an instrument. It's like a surgical instrument. I need those brothers and sisters in Christ, but I need my Lord's word to help expose these things that I need to cut out. And I can't do that, but he can. Okay? And verse 13. I don't want to go too long because it's already quarter after. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Okay? So he sees everything. And he wants the best of us. And he's given us what we need. There's nothing more that we gotta get. There's nothing more we gotta do. There's nothing more we gotta complete. We just need to get into that rest. We need to get into that area where we were meant to be. And if we're not, seek the Lord, seek his word. Use that seventh day of rest. I can't tell you it's Saturday, I can't tell you it's Sunday. Get that time. I love the concept of the Jews, what they use of the prayer closet. You guys know what that is? I think some of you guys know. They didn't go to a closet and like lock themselves in. They actually would take their robe, or I don't know the words they use, and they would close just on their own head, just to be alone. That's all you need to do. But we need to do that. We need to do that. Yeah, just, I don't know, take like a towel or something. But we need that aloneness with the Lord. Because he does. I really do. I'm seeing in the spirit world, things are cranking up. Every time I cross that border, man, things are cranking up. You know, I know the enemy opposition is getting rougher and rougher. It really is. But we're not to be afraid of that. We're just to know that that's like a season. That's like the thunderclouds. That's what I love about Arizona, especially here. You know a storm's coming because I'm looking at that cloud. It's rising. The cloud, the spirit clouds are rising. Things are getting really intense right now. And if we're not in our rest, the enemy is just going to whoop us. If we're operating the flesh, if we're in our works, he's just going to take us out. We can't do that. But we're in our rest. That's why I said, read Joshua. If you guys will accept homework from me. Read Joshua 22, 23, 24. I did. It was when they conquered the land and had rest from their enemies, they still had to fight. They still had to till the land. They still had to do all this other stuff. But it wasn't a burden because they were where they were supposed to be in the promised land. Okay, and I'm gonna end one last thing. And actually, let's go to Joshua. Can I have 5 more minutes? Let's just go to Joshua, because one of the things I learned with my students is if you give them homework, you don't tell them, give them some kind of instruction, they come back and they whine at you. They do. Hey, that was too hard. You didn't tell me. No, okay, let's go there. Let's go to Joshua. So after, you guys know, after Deuteronomy, let's go to Joshua. And I recommend reading. Okay, let's go to 23. 22 is there, but it only counts for a couple of the tribes. Let's go to 23. Let's go to 23. And you can see a word again. 23 verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua was old and advanced in age. And Joshua called all Israel for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officials, and said to them, I am old, advanced in age. You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. See, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from the Jordan, for all the nations that I have cut off as far as the great sea westward. And the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight. So you shall possess the land as the Lord your God has promised you." I'm going to stop there. I'm going to say again, Canaan, the land of rest. When you're where you're supposed to be, you're in your Canaan. Your Canaan's not my Canaan, but when I'm in my Canaan, I'm at rest. Okay, my enemies aren't totally gone, but I have rest for my enemies. And what that means to me is, because the enemy's still alive, I'm strong. Okay, remember I said that? And I said it publicly. I'm strong. I'm stronger than my enemy. When I'm in my rest, when I'm in where I'm supposed to be, I'm stronger than him. So here, verse 6 says, therefore, be very courageous to keep and to do all that was written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. Okay, that's, remember we talked about the word of God? That's it. And lest you go among these nations, these who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. As for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God is he who fights for you, as he has promised. Therefore, take heed of yourselves that you love the Lord your God. This is remember I said I want to complete this last connection. We're strong in him, right? It says here, one man will chase 1,000. Uh-huh. And it says here, I love this. Therefore, take heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. We got to keep him as the center. We got to keep him as the focus. We got to keep that love alive and fresh. And verse 12, or else if indeed you go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go into them, and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will not drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Okay, I'm going to give, the homework assignment is verse 14 to the end of the chapter. We're to keep that love relationship alive. We're to be in that rest. We're to be in that place. And I use that word place. It doesn't necessarily mean a physical location. We're to be in that, I'm struggling with a word. I don't have it. We're to be in that, I'll use the word place again, that place of rest where God's called us to be, where we're doing what we should be doing. And it's just good. It feels good. It's refreshing. And we will have that rest. We will have that Sabbath. Okay, I'm going to close. I gave you guys homework. And I'm just tasting this right now. I'm not telling you, been there, done it. I'm not. I'm just telling you, I'm starting to get a taste of this. And I love what Pastor Calvin said. I'm hungry. I'm just starting to, have you ever been hungry and you just had a little bit of food? It's like, oh, it's so good. But you can't stop. You need more. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask that you lift up the words that I've given your people here. I ask you, Lord Jesus, take away anything that was not of you. I ask you to build up this body. I ask you, Lord Jesus, show us that we need each other. Show us, Lord Jesus, that you can, by your word, and you can, by the examples of my brothers and sisters in Christ, take away the things that need to be taken away. Build up things that need to be built up. And Lord Jesus, I just want your rest. I want that place where I'm supposed to be. And I want everyone here in this room, in the sanctuary, to be in that same place. I want, Lord Jesus, your kingdom to grow. I want to see I want to see, Lord Jesus, souls brought in by the thousands, by the hundreds of thousands, by the millions. I want to see, Lord Jesus, your people praising you in the marriage supper of the Lamb. I ask you to continue to cover your people here, keep us close to you, and continue to pour your anointing on your people. It's in your holy name, Jesus Christ, I pray these things. Amen. Sorry if I've gone long.
Awesome. Okay, while you're being dismissed, I just got to read verse 9, 10, and 11 in the Amplified, with your permission, teacher. So then, there is still awaiting a full and complete Sabbath rest, full and complete Sabbath rest, reserved for the true people of God. For he who has once entered God's rest also has ceased from the weariness and pain of human labor. And it goes on. But it's like what you're saying. God's work is rest. Our human work is the weariness and the pain of labor. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. we've had a good lesson tonight. It's just been sweet. The praise and worship was awesome. Invite people to come on Sunday. Get them by the arm and escort them down here. Amen. You got something to say?
I do. I know it's late. But I have a light praise report and then a very, what's the word? I guess not heavy, but like a very strong praise report / prayer request. So the light praise report is for any of you who know me and my relationship with mathematics. We've been divorced many, many years. Well, today I took one of my final math exams and I aced it. So that was not me whatsoever. That was the mind of Christ. Because I honestly, the last time I got an A on a math exam was probably sixth grade and I was 12 years old. So that's a big, big thing for me. So that was huge. The other thing, the reason why I want to share with everyone is because it's so important and I would really love everyone's prayers with this. For those of you who know my dad and know that he's in law enforcement, you would know that